Amen. Hey, good to see you guys. I like the idea of filling all these chairs. I was excited to see the tables. I didn't feel any extra pressure to fill the chairs this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened to all these chairs? But it's a lot of fun. Listen, it's good to be with you guys. I love that Gabe was introducing our series on marriage starting this Sunday. So take this message today as a precursor to get ready for that. So my life is pretty much an open book for the people around me, but maybe not for you guys. So I'm going to share some of that this morning, some of the things I've been through. So consider this teaching just an overall testimony of my life. So you can look at it and say, yeah, that was Mark. But I challenge you to do this. Yeah, but I'm there too. Amen. Because when I got to Harvest, I was kind of a mess many years ago. 28 years ago, Kathy and I have been here. And we were downtown at a little storefront on Broadway, 30 people, you know, about the size of this section right here. That was Harvest. And through prayer and good people and great foundations, Harvest has grown to what it is today. But you know what? It's still the same place in so many, so many ways. We just get to touch more people. We still have the same mission statement, the same vision, and most of all, the same God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you that it's just another opportunity to think about you, talk about you, love you, and then pass those thoughts of love onto those around us. So be with us, Holy Spirit. Touch us, open us this morning, soften our hearts, and bring freedom where we're captives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. Let's start with Luke 11, 17 through 26. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself fails. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. My God. Goodness, have y'all ever experienced that where you get a little freedom, but then all of a sudden it seems to get away from you, and you feel like your second state was worse than the first, and you just wondered why in the world did you even bother to try to get free in the first place? Well, I've been there. So let's look at the scripture for a sec, because what we're going to talk about today is open doors in our life, blind spots, and strongholds. Now, the house that Jesus refers to is us. And the strong man is Satan, but remember that the stronger man is always Jesus. And when you start taking ground for the kingdom in your life, it's going to be resisted. It's going to be resisted. Your faith, guys, is going to be tested. You're going to wonder what you were thinking in the first place. That's the enemy's plan. Sow seeds of doubt. Remember what he told Eve in the garden? Did God really say? Yes, he did. That is your answer. When you hear that, why am I getting free? Because Jesus said I could be. Did God really say I could be a man of God? That's the enemy's sole tactic, and we fall for it so many times. Let's look at some definitions. I love definitions. Helps me figure out what's going on around me that we use around here. Blind spots. A blind spot is anything contrary to the word of God that I can't see in myself. However, others usually can see it. It's a place where your view is obstructed. Well, that's a tricky one. Because if it's a blind spot, by definition, I don't see it. Amen? So here's the question. So I would say, do you have any blind spots? And you would say, no, I don't have any blind spots. Well, I can tell you without discernment what your first blind spot is. That you don't think you have any. We all have them. So how do we figure those out? Well, hopefully we have a good friend or the Lord just speaks directly to us and tells us it's a blind spot. That one's pretty easy to understand. Oh, I didn't know I was like that after my wife would show me a blind spot. And then I believed her. Next one, open door. An open door is anything contrary to the word of God that I allow to have free access in my life. Free and unrestricted means of admission into my life. So here's kind of how that looks. So I figure out, I see that I have a blind spot, no longer blind to that. It basically converts to an open door. Amen. It's because I know about this one. But what we find is most open doors are perpetuated by a lie. We don't believe there's anything we can do to change that. I've always been this way. I can't change, or worse yet, I don't want to change. Or that's the way daddy was, and that's the way granddaddy was. Well, that's the way I am. Even if you don't want to be, you've believed a lie and allowed an open door. So what happens if we allow those open doors to stay long enough in our lives? The next thing is a stronghold. And it is anything that is in me that is unsubmitted to the word of God. I've made a choice now, guys, to unsubmit some area of my life to God. It's a place that I've fortified. I protect it against attack. If you start talking to me about a stronghold, I'm liable to come back at you and defend this place in my life. And we all have them. There's actually no shame in having them because of Jesus, but we're going to get into that. And one more definition, deliverance. So put out of your head any movies you've seen where somebody's head spins around. It might happen, I don't know. I've never seen it. It's really a lot simpler than that. And sometimes I think we don't get it because of just the wrong even mental image we have. But deliverance is when God moves on a person in such a powerful way that strongholds in their life are destroyed. Destroyed. Did you hear that? It's the action of being rescued or set free. So with that definition of deliverance, who wouldn't want some of that? Who wouldn't want that? 2 Corinthians, weapons, isn't that cool? We have weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. You know, those unsubmitted areas. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, we really could just stop right there and say, these are what's available to me, and I will take every thought captive, especially my strongholds, and I will be free and I will be delivered. But let's dive in a little bit further. But that's where we're headed. Spoiler alert. Common strongholds resulting from open doors and blind spots. Remember, blind spots we don't see, open doors we allow, strongholds we defend. Here's 10. Addictions, greed, rage, perfectionism. Feel free to apply any of these that you need to. Fear, lust, insecurity, pride, victim mentality, being controlled by our emotions. And the reason I can list those 10 is I've had every one of those strongholds. And still had to make sure I'm not hanging out there at times, trying to defend some old way of thinking, some old way of living. So these are my top 10. Here's another one, room full of men. How about work? Has work become a stronghold in our lives? Has work become our identity to the place that it overrides our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouses and our children? Did you know work could be a stronghold? God gave us work, yes, but he didn't give us work to make it an idol. He didn't give us work to define ourselves by. That too can be a stronghold. So really anything can be a stronghold. So here's number 12 in my notes. Just says fill in the blank. I challenge you guys to name your stronghold. What gets you riled up? We use phrases like, well, that just really pushed my buttons. Well, you might have a stronghold. Amen. So here's a phenomenon that I see. With newer Christians, newer believers, or believers that are trying to mature in their walk, they're typically more prone to blind spots. They didn't know. Pretty simple. When you tell your little child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Well, they didn't know it was hot. That's a blind spot to them. Amen. So you see that a lot. So as you're discipling people and raising your children and working with people, it's okay for people to have blind spots. I mean, really? How's it's just okay for them to have them. What's not okay is to keep them. And what's not okay is not say, dude, this is a blind spot for you. Okay? Now, as Christians mature, what you see, they've developed enough on their own and through people around them that people have told them their blind spots. Or maybe God's just revealed it and they figured it out. This ain't right. Well, and for a lot of us in here, those are open doors. We've allowed those open doors to say, because we feel powerless to change them. We still believe every lie that's ever been propagated against us. And then beyond that, strongholds. And we're all subject to those. Mature, immature, new believer, non-believer. We're all subject to strongholds. Okay? So once you deal with it, then it's time for deliverance. Amen? So with all this in mind, and I know I have a stronghold, am I willing to submit myself enough to God that I'm ready to be delivered? We don't use that word a lot because it freaks people out, but I need it, man. I need delivered, set free from all these captives that have held me captive. So we're halfway there, guys. Recognition of these things in our lives, especially strongholds, the ones we love to defend. Recognition in our lives is the first step towards freedom. Amen. So what are some open doors to strongholds or demonic oppression? What's some simple open doors? First one, unforgiveness. Do you harbor any unforgiveness? That's an open door. Hurt and trauma. Sometimes stuff just happens to us. But it can be an open door. Generational strongholds. Y'all get that one. Like I said, daddy did it. Grandpa did it. I'm going to do it. Mental strongholds. We just get so caught up in our own thoughts that we can't have room for Jesus. And my personal favorite and stronghold of choice was willful sin. And there was a lot of them. It's what got me in the mess that got me to Harvest. Addictions. I needed freedom, guys. Sometimes I don't even like doing these kind of talks because I have to think back, and that is not me anymore. That is the old man, and I'm happy to say that. Trust me, I'm telling y'all, I am not special. Just ask my wife. She loves me, but she knows I'm not special. Amen. This is possible for anybody. Anybody. Check this out. Revelation 12:11. Talking about Christians. And they defeated him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as they were afraid to die. Well, now that's the truth. And the reason I share my testimony is because not for me. I'm through with that. I share it for my brothers. I share it for you guys because we all need freedom. We all need deliverance. I still do. Don't hear me saying I'm finished. Trust me, I'm not. But with those, I am. Now on to the next. Because I am not perfect. Amen. So how do you know if you've got these things? Well, there's a few quick signs I want to go over with. Here's the results of strongholds and demonic oppression here. Begin to see if you start seeing yourself in any of these patterns. Number one, can they control our thoughts and actions? Why did I do that? I don't even know why I did that. You didn't know that you could be controlled? Number two, creates addictions and behaviors contrary to God. And y'all get that one, pretty self-explanatory. We know when we're doing something wrong most of the time, guys, let's be honest. Torment and control our minds and emotions. You ever just have those days and you just go, and you don't even have words for how you feel. Filter and color, number four. Filter and color how we feel or react to people, situations, or circumstances. You ever find yourself reacting to somebody one way and somebody else another way? Number five, and they keep us from having intimate, fruitful lives and relationships. Now that one for the longest time was just like, shh, what is that? It was just like over my head. It didn't even make sense to me. It sounded kind of girly, really. And I didn't like that because I'm a man. But you know what? God's called us to that. God's called us to have that with Jesus. Amen. So don't get hung up thinking you're not a man. Real men do this stuff. And you can't act like Jesus if you have a stronghold. It's really hard. Really hard. In fact, I would just say it's impossible. So what's the answer? Well, it's not what is the answer. That's a guy's way of thinking. That's the Western way we think. What's the answer? No, it's who is the answer. Who is the answer? And the who and the answer is Jesus. See, he was the stronger man. He bound the strong man through the power of the cross. If Jesus, man of God, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can go free, you can move from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, and you can become the new creation in Christ that he died for. Amen. I'm not kidding about this stuff. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15 says this, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, that's us, he himself likewise also partook of the same, and that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Well, there it is. We're a slave to the devil. That's just wrong. We never sit around and talk about that. Who wants that? See, the power of the cross binds the strongholds in our lives. Colossians says it like this. When you were dead in your transgressions, remember sin is death, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of our transgressions. Remember the cross? Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he, Jesus, had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Man, Jesus did that. Well, guess what? Because Jesus did that, we get to do that. We get to proclaim the victory. We get to see our enemies bound and shackled. See, there's no debt I owe the devil. It's not like some movie where you make a deal with the devil. I don't owe him a thing. Jesus paid the debt. He paid it in full. He paid it on the cross. And once we believe this, and I mean believe it here, in your heart. Once we believe this, then we can operate out of a base of truth and not lies that the enemy's thrown at us. See, truth is now, if Jesus is the answer, what is Jesus? Jesus is truth. John 14, 6. And Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. John 8, 31, 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My name is Jesus, glad to meet you. I am the truth, the way, and the life. That's all there is to this. Truth has come to abide in me and give me a full disclosure of who Jesus is through his Holy Spirit that we all got when we got saved. And then we all get when we get baptized in the Spirit. So why? Well, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Stand firm, men. Don't jump back in those bonds, because sometimes we do that. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And when you get free, revelation comes. Well, what is that? It's just more truth. Sometimes we get these words all jacked up. Revelation, isn't that the last book in the Bible about dragons? Yes, it is. Save that till later. You know, I don't spend a lot of time there, even though I quoted it, because I don't get it. Because my nature wants me to get it. You know, I want to understand. I'm a guy. I try to stay simple, because that works for me. I encourage you to do the same thing, you know. Christianity itself is simple. Jesus died on the cross. Thank you, God. I received that. But it's not easy. Today we're talking about the not easy part. The part we have to give up because we think we get to keep it. Amen. So let me give you a little warning, a little caution, a caveat, if you will. Many things or people will try to define you as you go on this quest for truth. Don't chase those rabbit trails. And here's a couple of them, counterfeits or imitations of truth. Amen. So watch out for this. For analytical people, which a lot of men are, have to analyze, have to understand before we believe, information can become the counterfeit of truth. You can Google everything I'm saying just to make sure Pastor Mark was right about what he was talking about. Information is a counterfeit of truth many, many times. Or for emotional people, like our wives, okay? Or anybody that struggles with emotions. I'm an emotional guy. Feelings become a counterfeit or an imitation for truth. Well, I just feel like I did the right thing. Well, that doesn't help. Did you do the right thing or did you not? So watch out for that, guys. Information and feelings are counterfeits. Okay, because this quest is a little tricky sometimes. And today you can just do a search for anything and find your answer. Amen? All right, we're going to wind this up. We're getting close. Are we starting to see that the very essence of Christianity is replacement? Less of Mark, more of Jesus. Less of Jim, less of Randall, less of each one of us, and more of Jesus. How fun is that? We're individuals, but there's enough Jesus guys to go around. He's in all, above all, sees all, knows all. He's all. There's enough Jesus to go around. So don't find yourself, if people sometimes say, well, I know you're too busy to talk to me. They tell me that. I'm like, not really. When do you want to get together? Don't do Jesus that way. Jesus, I know you got all the troubles in the world. I know you're feeding the poor in Somalia. I don't know how you would have time for me, little old me. Come on, man. Quit hiding from Jesus. He's bigger than anybody. You're not going to mess up his day. He's already planned his. We're not going to mess up Jesus' day. Galatians 2:20. There we go. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm talking about me. Mark has been crucified in Christ. It is no longer Mark who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which Mark lives in the flesh, he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, Jesus wasn't too busy for us. He was not too busy for us. Okay, that's all fun, but how do I start? What's my next step? What should I do? All right, I'm going to sit here and tell you I've got a stronghold. So what's next? Well, deliverance and freedom begins, men of God, when we take responsibility for our lives. Okay? I don't care what got you to a place. I really don't. What really matters is what we do from this moment, 7:13 and 16 seconds forward. Okay? You know what I love about the past? My favorite thing about the past, it's stinking over. Okay? So get over it. Okay? Because Jesus is a forward-thinking God. He didn't go back and look at the cross. I was like, man, what was I thinking getting on that thing? That hurt. He does not think that way. I'm telling you, it hurt. And he thinks forward. For the joy set before him, he endured the shame, thought nothing of it, because he saw our faces. So it's a choice. No one or nothing can cause you to live in bondage. What did Jesus say? I came to set you free. So we will get rid of our open doors, guys, and our blind spots when these things become our enemies and not our friends. Because who likes to get rid of their friends? Well, my stronghold's not my friend. Really, why are you defending it? Enemies bring death, destruction, chaos. They're enemies. Friends bring life, comfort, security, joy, identity, significance. Jesus is my friend. The devil is my enemy. Sometimes we have to just make it that plain. See, Jesus is our only true friend. And I have friends. I have great friends. I have friends that I trust. But I don't trust them more than I trust Jesus. In fact, I trust them to the way they look like Jesus. That's what I tell my wife. The only way you have to be subject to me is to the part that I look like Jesus. You don't have to be subject to the part that doesn't look like Jesus. So that's real motivation to me to look like Jesus. Oh my gosh. Glad she's not here. All right. Revelation 3:20. Behold. It's a great word. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will be and dine with him and he with me. For the longest time I thought that scripture in Revelation was about Jesus knocking on the door and trying to get people saved. Let me in. I'll lead you to me. No. Read it in context. He's talking to Christians. How come you open the door to everything else except Jesus, he's saying. Blind spots, open doors, strongholds, and Jesus has a closed door to your heart? What's up with that? I say we close all the devil's doors and open the Jesus door today. He ain't gonna mess with us. There's this picture that when I was growing up in the Methodist church, there was Jesus knocking on the door. It's kind of an old-timey looking picture. But, you know, he is 2,000 years old. So it's really okay. I don't know, just sticks in my heart, just that thought of Jesus wanting in. And somebody pointed out to me the other day, and I guess it's true, I can't tell, that there's no doorknob. He can't let himself in, men of God. You got to open that door from the inside of your hearts and let him in. Amen. So we're going to take a little time at our tables. And don't pretend like you don't know each other. I see you sitting with the same men every week. I'm not kidding. Okay? So you already got the relationship. Y'all can share with one another. You can be real. You don't come here for nothing. You came here for Jesus every Tuesday. Amen? So we're going to start today. We're going to start right now. Don't wait till a better opportunity. Don't sit there and say like I used to. Well, I'm better than I used to be. Well, heck yeah. I'm better than I used to be. I was a mess. But I still want to be better than I was yesterday. Because remember, the past is over. Stop it. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We're all righteous men of God because of what we've been talking about, the work of the cross. So simple instructions. James says do two things. Confess your sins and pray for one another. That sounds like the definition of brave hearts to me. Amen. So we're going to do this at our tables. Take a turn. You don't have to do all 10. Pick one. Pick the first one that comes to your head and deal with it. Three things. Ask God to do this, to bring truth to your life, to reveal blind spots, close open doors, okay? Confess your strongholds. Number two, help me change. Remember that scripture, take every thought captive. What does that mean? It means what it says. Take every thought captive so you can get rid of it. Bind it up. Throw it away. And number three, deliver me. Set me free today. Let the power of the Word of God be so manifest, so deep within you that there's no other place to turn. Amen. So it's time to replace the old man with the new. And time to get some more freedom this morning. Father, I thank you for this time, for these men. But I thank you mostly for the work that you've done that allows this freedom to come in our lives and into our hearts and into a place of newness. I just hear for you guys that you're going to feel new when you walk out of here. You're going to feel lighter when you walk out of here. So come, Holy Spirit, and set us free today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, get it on, guys.